Now, as we begin our study this morning, because I've entitled the message this morning, Serving as a Mother Serves Her Family. Because for the last several weeks, our theme has been serve. And it's going to culminate next week with the final message and an opportunity to sign up and be willing to serve starting in September as we make all the plans for the fall. But we've had different people at different times each week give a testimony of how they have been able to serve. And we've tried to have some people that you don't necessarily see up front all the time. And this morning we're going to have Terry Alverio come up and share a little bit about ministering, volunteering. Come on up all the way up front, Terry. I know it's a long walk when you sit in the forbidden land rather than the promised land. And Terry is well, I'll let her share with you. And it's nerve-wracking to get up here. You know, for those of you that never come up here, it's nerve-wracking. So, Terry, just keep that close to you so that you, all right? Just put that there, yeah.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Now you have to bring this up closer.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
If you don't hear you, they can't hear you.
Okay. My name is Teresa Alverio. I was asked to testify on serving God. I've been a member of Grace Bible for a number of years. I was terrified to serve in the church. I always thought that I was unworthy due to circumstances in my life. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience with him, to love him, to serve the Lord with all your heart and all your soul." I am proud to say that I serve in many ways. I am involved in the nursery. I'm involved in greeting and Sunday school. Each of these ministries is close to my heart. When I started working in the nursery and helping the moms and dads be able to go to church to be fed the word of God without any interruptions, and without saying the joy of being around the beautiful babies in the nursery, sometimes it gets hectic with all the crying, but somehow God is there to soothe the children. I was asked to be a greeter in the church. Knowing that I was to invite people into God's sanctuary and God's house is an honor. To say hello and welcome to Grace Bible Church is a delight for me. Sunday school is another area that I chose to serve. It is the most rewarding. Helping Ruth Boyles is amazing. All the children in our second and third grades have touched me in one way or another, and have showed me pure love for God, and that they know that Jesus has washed away our sins so that we can be saved. I only wish that my love for God is as strong as these wonderful children have in God. How can I not serve an all-loving God? God has given me a home when I didn't have one. God has provided me with food when I had no food. When I was lost, God found me. When I was sick with cancers and the doctors told me that they could not cure me, God was the one to heal me. When I was lonely, he was there. When I was in all my trials, he was carrying me. God has given me many blessings in my life. But to witness, actually, there have been four children in my life that have come to the Lord. Tiffany Camacho, Andrew Camacho, Ramon Alverio, and my son Ryan Taylor have come to the Lord to ask him to be their Lord and Savior. It is the best blessing knowing that they are saved and they are God's children and they will have eternal life. How can I not serve an all-loving God who has given his only son to die on the cross to wash my sins away? This is why I chose to serve the Lord, not because I have to, because my heart for God wants me to. I want to thank you, God, for having the pleasure of serving you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. A couple of weeks ago, well, it's been longer than that, we lit the candle because her son Ryan came to faith. And we've been picking on Ryan today because he's all dressed up in a suit for Mother's Day. And but it is just, the transformation has been amazing. And it is really exciting to see. Did you listen to the end of her testimony? Her children have come to know Christ as Savior. I mean, that is it. And so her service, as all of our volunteers over the years, her service represents well my one thing that I would like you to take home today. And that is, serving like a mother impacts those served for their entire lives. And that's the takeaway. And we're going to look at it in different ways this morning. I'm going to use a couple of illustrations to bring that out. But that's our one thing. You know, I was really fortunate as a child. My parents accepted the Lord when I was 2. So I was brought up from my early infancy, my young childhood, in a Christian home where Christ really, truly was the center of our home. I never doubted my parents' love or my mother's love for us, ever. Now, like Mike said a couple of weeks ago, God loves us, but does he like us? I'm sure that there were times that my mother loved us. She wasn't too sure that she liked us. But, you know, we all go through that in our families. I tried to think this week, is there anything consciously that I can remember about my mother sort of in a negative manner? And I couldn't even bring up a memory that way. Of course, I'm getting old and I forget a lot of things. And I'm sure that if I were to go back and scrounge everything, I could find something. But in general, as I look back, I don't have any negative memories of her at all. My parents sacrificed for us. Now, I don't think that they consciously thought of it as a sacrifice. I think they did what every parent, every good parent does, and they took care of us. As I was thinking back about my mother, there are a couple of things that came to mind, two of them. And, I mean, actually there were 3 or 4, but I've only got so much time, so I had to eliminate a couple of them. But I can still remember, and I probably shared this because I don't remember all the illustrations I've given, but I can remember one day very vividly. I was young. I don't remember how old I was, so I don't know if when this took place there were the 6 boys or if we had adopted the 2 girls or not. It was the 8 of us children plus my parents, or there had been 10. But I can remember my mother coming into the kitchen and putting the grocery on the table. I assume that I was sent out to the car to help bring the groceries in. I don't remember that. But I can remember her sitting there, tears just coming down her eyes, streaming down her eyes, because she had spent $40 on groceries. And that was the entire week's money that my dad had given her for everything. And it took $40 to feed either 8 of us or 10 of us, depending on how many of us there were at the time that took place. And I remember when I turned 18, I was just getting ready to go to France. It was my birthday, and I was pestering my mother, what did you get me for my birthday? You know, what did you get me? And I apparently pestered her sufficiently that she got angry enough, which was a trick. And she picked up this bag, and she threw it at me. Here, take it. And I was way across the room. And she was a good throw. And so I got it, but I also saw the face, her face, and how much I had hurt her by pestering her for that. Of all the birthday gifts I have ever received, I still have that one. See, that one I still have because of the way that I treated her on that day. So our one thing, serving like a mother impacts those that are served for their entire lives. So whether your memories of your mother are good or bad makes no difference. Your mother's impact on your life has been lifelong. Now, how does a mother serve her family? Well, I just asked around this week and came up with a short list. It's not going to be my message. I'm just going to share these with you. She gives life to her children. She provides complete sustenance for her infant children. She nurtures her children in love, expressing both truth and grace to their children. She loves and disciplines her children. She takes care of the home. She is the last one to to go to bed at night, usually, and the last one to sit down at a meal. She prays for her husband and her children. She supports her husband and children. She's the biggest cheerleader for her kids. And she cares for her children's injuries. And I'm sure the list could go on and on. That was just a two-minute thing that we did this week to come up with a list. It's lengthy. So our theme the last few weeks has been serve. And so this morning, what I want to do is, I'm not addressing mothers this morning at all. They are the object lesson of our teaching. But I'm drawing the three points I want to make this morning from three different mothers in Scripture. And the first one is Jesus' mother. And so I'd like you to take your Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 50. It's a story that all of you know. Mary and Joseph had taken Jesus, and if there are other children, the other children, perhaps, to Jerusalem for Passover. Maybe the other children were not there. We don't know. All we're told is about Jesus. And according to the law, a Jewish family was to go to Jerusalem three times a year. And they were to celebrate these national holy days together. There was Passover, there was Pentecost, and then there was the Feast of the Tabernacles. And as we look at the life of Jesus, especially his growing up life, the only story that we have in Scripture about his childhood is this one. And it takes place at Passover. So we don't know if he went to Jerusalem those other times or not. It is possible that they did, but we're not given that information. The journey from Nazareth down to Jerusalem was an arduous one because they would not travel just straight south. So if you can envision Israel in your mind, if you don't, you can look at a map in the back of your Bible. You know that Galilee is up in the northern part of the country, and then you have the Jordan River running south to the Dead Sea. And directly south and a little bit west of this of the Sea of Galilee is Samaria. And at the time of Jesus, the Samaritans lived there. They were half Jewish and half non-Jewish, and they didn't really get along with the Jews. And so those that lived around the Sea of Galilee wouldn't travel straight south. They would cross over the Jordan River, go down on the east side of the Jordan, and then cross back over near Jericho and come up to Jerusalem. It was a long trip. And so the custom was that they would travel together in groups, maybe entire families or maybe a large village. But as they would approach Jerusalem near the time of Pentecost, the Passover, more and more people were joining the journey as they were coming to Jerusalem. So they were there for that time, and then it was time to go home. And Jesus was 12 years of age, and at age 12, Jewish boys were considered sons of the law, or sons of the precepts, depending on how you would translate the word. And they were no longer considered children. They were old enough to get their own knowledge and be responsible for themselves. And so, you know, they were to leave on a particular time. Mary and Joseph were there and left, and it was assumed that Jesus, as a young man, would have been responsible enough to have been there, to have gone. But he didn't. And so the day ends, and Mary and Joseph are looking for him, and they're going through this crowd of people that are traveling together. Where's Jesus? And they didn't find him. And so after having traveled a day, they had to travel back a day to get to Jerusalem. Now, any mother, any parent would be anxious as they're making that journey back. I mean, that day's travel, maybe it wouldn't take them a full day because they wanted to get back, you know, but they were going back and they didn't know where Jesus was, and they're going to a city that they don't really know, and they're going to be looking for him. And so when we come down to verse 46, we read, after 3 days. So there was a day out, a day back. And so they were looking for him for a day. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And the reaction of the parents of Jesus, you know, Mary and Joseph, in verse 48, when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." My mother would have grabbed me by the throat and, maybe I would have lived through it. But if I had ever done that, it would have been disaster in my home. I mean, we can understand their anxiety because of what had happened. And so the point is this, is that mothers serve out of deep concern for their children. Mothers serve out of deep concern for their children. They put their children's welfare before everything else. And I make that statement knowing, you know, there's the occasional mother, the rare mother out in the world today that doesn't do that. But under normal circumstances, mothers are going to do everything they can to see that their children are cared for. It's seen in the way that mothers take care of their children when they're sick or when they're injured or when they're mistreated. It's seen in all sorts of ways how that a mother's heart is for her children. And the thing is, we always thought growing up, I mean, as young adults, when we had children and they were growing up, oh, man, when they finally are grown up and gone, we won't worry about them. All of you who know that have kids grown up and are gone, it doesn't change. You still worry about them. You're still concerned about them. It doesn't make any difference how old they are. And we're concerned for them. And that's that mother's love. And so serving like a mother means serving with a deep concern for those served. And that's the point I want you to draw from there, is that when we serve the Lord and we serve like a mother, we are concerned about those people that we are serving. We don't serve just because nobody else will do it. That's not the point. I mean, as much as we are focusing on serving for the last several weeks, the point is not we are going to get a baseball bat and browbeat everybody so that we serve. No, we look at it and say, Lord, there's the tremendous concern we have for those that are all around us, and that's why we serve. I love what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2. Has nothing to do with, I'm not using it in the context of the verse itself, but Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and he says to them, "But we proved to be gentle among you Thessalonians, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her children." And that's what we mean when we talk about serving with a deep sense of concern for those served. The Apostle Paul, as he went to the Thessalonians, as he ministered there, as he brought the gospel to them, he says, "We served you, we were gentle among you," just as a nursing mother is gentle and tenderly cares for her children. So we must serve with a heart of concern. Now the second thing is, we need to serve out of faith. Turn, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark. So if you're in Luke, back up one book to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And here we have the account, starting in verse 24, Mark 7, starting in verse 24, of a Syrophoenician woman. It's a big word. It simply is referring to a woman that was a Canaanite woman, living up in what is today Lebanon, sort of north and west of Capernaum, where Jesus was. And Jesus had traveled from the area of Capernaum, or the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, and to the northwest. And if you read all the context and everything, he went up there to be alone with his disciples, to get away from the crowds and all the people that were there following him. And the residents up in that area were Canaanite, and there's this woman, a Syrophoenician woman, a Syrian woman from Phoenicia, and she heard that Jesus was there. And so in verse 24, we read, Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. And when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it, but he could not escape. He wanted to be there alone, incognito. And that woman heard that he was there. She heard what Jesus had done. Her daughter was possessed by an evil spirit, and she came to Jesus. She fell at his feet, and she begged him to heal, to cast the demon from her daughter. And so we go down to verse 27. Jesus responds to this woman, and his response to her appears to us to be unsympathetic. In fact, it appears to us to be downright mean. Look what he says. Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Or to the little dogs, actually, the word is. And Jesus' first priority was to the Jews. And in this particular time, in this particular event, his first priority was to his own disciples, the men that were traveling with him. He had led them away so that they could get away from the crowd, so he could have some time alone with them. And this woman, hearing that he was there, just came to him and begged him to heal her daughter. But Jesus' response to the woman evokes something from that woman that the disciples needed to see. Her response was, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. She revealed her heart of absolute faith that Jesus could do what needed to be done for her daughter. And so that brings us to the point that mothers serve their families in faith. No one knows, no one knows what their hard work is going to produce. I mean, some of you here today have children that are grown, that have completely walked away from the Lord. And yet everything that you did as they were growing up, you did in order to nurture them so that they would follow Christ. But see, you did that in faith. There's nothing that you can do. When a child grows up, they make their own decisions. They're responsible. You are not responsible for their decisions. You can't take responsibility for their decisions. So as a mother, we serve in faith, doing everything that we can do on their behalf so that they will be drawn to Christ, but ultimately they make their own choice. And this work is, you know, this serving by faith is particularly true for mothers. They work in their families. They work for their families, but they cannot dictate the results of their labor. None of us can do that. The Syrophoenician woman knew what Jesus could do for her daughter. She knew what he could do. She went to Jesus and she would not let go. She was determined that Jesus would respond, and she was not deterred by his first refusal. If anything, it only made her more persistent at her request. So serving like a mother means serving in faith, believing that God will act. Napoleon Bonaparte, it is said, I don't know, I never heard him say it. I mean, I wasn't here in 1815, so. But anyway, it is said that Napoleon Bonaparte said, the future destiny of a child is the work of a mother. And in many ways, that statement is true of our service for the Lord as well. The future destiny. You know, Terry talked about serving the second graders. A lot of times you think second graders. I mean, those kids are, I mean, they're almost as bad as junior high kids, you know. But the impact the eternal impact on those kids. When we serve people, we will sometimes be sorely disappointed in what happens. It will seem that all of our investment of time and energy has been wasted because we don't see the fruit that we want. But that's not true. Because fruit takes time. And the fruit is not necessarily visible next week or in a month or in 6 months. Sometimes that fruit's not going to be visible for years and years down the road. The prophet Isaiah said of God's word, "So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty." It will not return to me empty. Without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. See, what God wants us to do is to be faithful in giving His word. I'm listening to it. I'm not reading it. I'm listening to it. God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew. I know I read it at some point because as I'm listening to it, I'm remembering it, but I don't remember it before the case. You know, so it's one of those things where I must have read it like when I was, you know, years and years ago, and I don't remember the story, but as I'm listening to it, I'm remembering the events that he's talking about. But in it, he tells the story of how just before he went to war in the West Indies, he was Dutch. His mother gave him a Bible. And in the Bible, she had written something. I don't remember what it was, but he never read that Bible. He never read it. Went in the bottom of his sack, knapsack, or whatever they carried, and he never looked at it. And while he was away, she died. And at one point in the war, he was injured, and he ended up in the hospital for a long time. And finally, during his recovery, he began to read his mother's Bible. And from that little beginning, God took a hold of that guy's life and transformed it, just totally changed it. And serving like a mother serves her family is truly serving by faith. Now the third thing is serving seeks the best for those served. And for this, I'd like you to turn to Matthew. So you were in Luke. We backed up to Mark. Now we back up to Matthew. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. And I'd like to read verse 20, while you're turning there. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee, those are James and John, came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. Every time I read that, this image comes to my mind of this older mother grabbing her two grown sons by the hand, taking them to Jesus, and her making a request on their behalf. It's sort of it's one of those images that is, it just seems sort of silly to see a mother doing that. And yet, she was concerned for her kids, and she wanted the best for them, and that's the point of her request. And so, we notice in verse 20, three things. She came to Jesus on behalf of her sons. She humbled herself before Jesus. She bowed down. And she made a request on their behalf. So she brought them to Jesus. She bowed down and humbled herself before Jesus. And she made a request. She had, for whatever else, she had the best interests of her sons at hand, in mind, at heart. And she had obviously come to the conclusion that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the person he said he was, and that he had come into the world and that eventually he would reign on King David's throne. And I want my sons on either side of the king. And so she was seeking their best on her by by her work. She took the initiative. And mothers are always looking out for their children. I mean, they're always wanting the best for the kids. They're always pushing them and sort of opening up doors for them or trying to open up doors. They don't want their children to do something foolish that's going to hurt them. That's why mothers are constantly, you know, trying to get their kids to do what's right. Because they know the consequences of doing what's wrong. And so they encourage them to do well in school because they know the value of a good education. They try to provide things for them to help them succeed in life. And unfortunately, you know, when you're doing that for your kids and they're still at home, you can just see them rolling their eyes. I can see my daughters. Oh. You know, they don't do it now, but they did. But see, mothers want the best for their kids. They want the best. And that is precisely what the mother of James and John was doing. Now, we're not going to go deeper into it of the story this morning because I want to bring the point. Serving like a mother means seeking the best for those whom we serve. Some of you can think back on teachers that you had as a child. And how it impacted you because that person wanted your best. I mean, I can remember a teacher that had to be with Noah on the ark. I was in seventh grade. And she was not married. And she was a tall woman. And she taught social studies. I don't even know if they have social studies anymore. But in that class, we did things that were horrendous. I mean, she had, you would walk into, I can remember, every single day we walked into the class and the chalkboard was filled with something. And the first thing we had to do was copy it verbatim into this notebook and legibly. I mean, there's nothing worse than being a guy and having to write legibly and having this teacher that was with Noah walking over you and looking at it. It's not legible. You know, so that's what it was just one of those things. But she made us do something that transformed me. We had to have a notebook, and in that notebook, we had to put something from the newspaper or a magazine for every single class. And the year I was in seventh grade, two momentous events took place. President Kennedy was shot. And Pope John the 23rd died. And I had these news articles and newspapers, and that was in my book. And although I knew it was important when I was in seventh grade, I didn't know how important it was. But I had that notebook all the time until we moved from Vermont to Montreal in 2001. Somehow that book got lost. It was distressing because I had saved it all those years. But she taught me the value of current events and the value of history. And I still see that today. When I was younger, when I was a child, we had junior church at the church I grew up with. And they ran junior church just like big church. It was in another building because we had just a little building and we were down the street a little bit. But we had a lady that was a master. I mean, I can still see myself sitting there in this room. There had to be 50, 60 kids. Maybe more than that. I don't know. It was a big room and there were a lot of kids. One teacher. One lady. And she was so good at what she did. That room was in total obedience to her. Of course, we all had parents that if we weren't obedient, we would hear about it. But she was just very, very good. And so she made learning scripture so much fun that it was like, oh man, I never knew that. And I was learning stuff and I can remember the impact that she had on my life. I could go on with illustration after illustration, but the whole point is this. Serving like a mother means seeking the best for those that you're serving. It's not about you. It's about those that are the beneficiaries of the service. Proverbs 6:20 says, and we're closed. I just want to bring everything to a close. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. You know, I've tried by using three different mothers in the Bible to bring our understanding a little clearer about a mother's service and how it can represent and be reflected in our serving Christ. Serving like a mother means serving with a deep sense of concern for those that we're serving. Serving like a mother means serving in faith that God will act. And serving like a mother means seeking the best for those that we serve. And so our one thing, serving like a mother impacts those served for their entire lives. Now, as the praise team is going to come up and get ready to sing one last song, I want to conclude with an illustration. William Mackey was a Scotsman, and he grew up in a good religious home, and his mother gave him a Bible as he was heading off to college, and in it she wrote his name and a verse of Scripture. And college, though, took William Mackey a different direction. I mean, it totally disappointed his mother. Completely disappointed his mother. And at one point, he pawned his mother's Bible, or the Bible his mother had given to him, because he wanted to have some money for whiskey. And so he drank. But eventually he did become a doctor. And years passed, his mother died. And one day there was a patient dying in his hospital where he's serving. And he asked for his precious book. And somebody got it for him, but he had heard him ask for it. And at any rate, after the person had died, he went in, and there laying next to the bed was a Bible. And he thought he recognized it, and he opened it, and there was his name written and the verse his mother had written. And so he took the Bible back into his office at the hospital and he began paging through it. And unbeknownst to him, his mother had gone through it and underlined verses and written notes to him years earlier, hoping that he would read it. And he read all of those notes that his mother had written to him all these years later. And right there in that office, knelt down and said, "Lord, forgive me." And he turned from his life in that direction to serving Christ. So you never know what your service can do. Father, as we conclude this morning, we pray that you would be honored in our serving you. Be praised and glorified by what we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.